Okay, welcome everybody. Brukhim Avoim. I want to welcome all those viewing on Torah Anytime and listening on J-Root Radio. Let me tell you an interesting thing. The Gemara in Shabbos, the Gemara Megillah says, Menatzbach, Tzoyfim Amram. Menatzbach were said by the Nevi'im. What does that refer to? So that, simply put, it refers to the end of letters, the final mem, the final nun, the final sadi, the final pei, the final chaf, were said by the Nevi'im. The Gemara explains they were lost. The tradition of how they looked was lost, and the Nevi'im reinstated the final letters. The end of letters, okay. But there is a Kabbalistic shah in this Gemara, Menatzbach Soifim Amram, and it goes like this. In this week's parasha, at the end of the parasha, we find that a story about Mekalel, the person who cursed the name of Hashem. And we didn't exactly know what to do with him. So what happened? So they asked Moshe Ben Shlom, and the Torah says, V'noik gev shem Hashem, Moshe ragam yergamu Moshe. You have to put him to death. Interesting. Why didn't Hashem tell Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai, if somebody curses the name of Hashem, this and this is the punishment? It's a very interesting episode where the halacha was taught in response to a story that happened. It wasn't given necessarily as part of the main body of the Torah, but it was given in response to a specific incident. We find a number of these examples. You have the Menoy Slavchad, who... they didn't know what to do. What do you do with these girls? They want Yerusha. It doesn't say in the Torah what to do in response to their claim. So the halacha was given. There are a number of these stories. The Mem. Well, you have the story of the Mekoshesh. What do you do with somebody who gathers the wood on Shabbos? So Moshe Rabbeinu said, Emda Vashmo, you wait here, let me find out what happened. You have the person who cursed Hashem. You have the Menoy Slavchad. You have Pesach Sheni. You have people who came along and said, Lomani Gora! And you have Kazui Basur. What do we do with this guy? He's living with a Goya. What's the halacha? Not Chayv Misa for living with a Goya. So Moshe Ben said, Taka, you're right. You know, Kraina de Igarta Iu have a Parvanka, you gotta kill him. There are five scenarios in the Chumash. Now, we're not given with the rest of the Torah, but sort of we're taught in response to a Maisa Shahaya. What are they? Mekoshesh, Noikev Shem Hashem, Slavchad, Pesach Sheni, Kazvi Basur. Menatzbach, Mekoshesh, Noikev, Slavchad, Pesach, Kazvi, Soifim Amram. We're taught by through Nevuah, not as part of the main... giving over the Torah. So where does this come from? So in the Sefer, Pnina Mishulchan HaGavaya, it says that this was said by Reb Chaim Valkin, who heard it in the walls of Yeshiva Chaim Berlin, in the name of the Chachmei Yames. Now you should know, that means he heard it from Reb Huttner. And when Reb Huttner would say over Torah from the Chachmei Yames, that was the way he referred to Reb Kook. So he would call him the Chachmei Emes, and, you know, to protect the innocent, so to speak, for certain reasons that are beyond the scope of this sphere, that's how he would refer to it. But that's where it comes from, an amazing pshat. Menatzbach, Soifim, Amram. Okay, so that's the first offering for today. Okay, today... which is the 19th day of Iyar, which is the 34th day of the Omer, is the yard site of the Marenu Meir ben Baruch, the Maram Meir Rotenberg, one of the great Rishonim, one of the last of the Balei HaToisus, about which the Yam Shel Shlom writes in Simen Samach Vav, V'loi Haya Kamoisai B'Torah U'V'Chasidus. There is no one like him in Torah knowledge and in Chasidus. We're talking about the middle of the 13th century. But literally one of the Balei HaToisus, about whom the Chida writes, that if you look at Toisus in Masechta Yuma, you'll notice the style is different than elsewhere in Shas, because the author of Toisus in Masechta Yuma is none other than the Maram Meir Rotenberg. Now, the Maram was a prolific writer of halachic responsa. He wrote more than 1,000 shuvos, and the Achronim write, the Chidah brings down, that on the Maram, you cannot argue on him in Sfarah. You know, there are different Rishonim or different Koichos. When it comes to Maram Rotenberg, when he said a Svara, his Svara was such Svara Yeshara that when you could not argue with him in Svara. Now, the Maram Rotenberg was a Talmud of the Arzarua, Rav Yitzchak Mivina. By the way, it's interesting. Why would Rav Yitzchak Mivina write a Sefer called Arzarua? What kind of name is that? If your name is Yitzchak, you could write a Sefer, I don't know. Birchas Yitzchak. But where does the name Arzarua come from? Well, the story goes that Rav Yitzchak was writing a sefer on Shemois Begitin. How do you spell a halachic document of divorce? And Rav Yitzchak had the following dilemma. How do you spell the name Akiva? Do you spell it Ayin Kuf Yud Veiz Hey or Ayin Kuf Yud Veiz Aleph? He didn't know. And then he had a dream. And in the dream, they showed him the following pasuk. Oyer Zarua La Sadik Uli Yishrei Lev Simcha. And he really could not figure out why they were showing him this pasuk until he realized that the Seifei Tevois of Ar Zarua La Tzadik Uli Yishrei Leif Simcha Ar ends in a resh for Rebbe. Zarua ends in an ayin. La Tzadik ends in a kuf. Uli Yishrei ends in a yud. Leif ends in a vez. Simcha ends in a hey, spelling out Akiva. Akiva with a hey. And he, based on this chaloyim, he passed and he spelled Akiva with a hey. And we pass can you spell Akiva with an Aleph. But based on this Chaloim, he named his Sefer or Zarua. So he was the Rebbe of the Maram Meirotenberg. Maram was born in 1220, and in the second half of the 13th century, he becomes the leader of German Jewry. In the 5 years of the Maram's life, life became kamad intolerable in Germany. Pogroms, taxes, blood libels, many Jews fled Germany, and it was a difficult trip to Eretz Yisrael. Comes along Rudolf the First, and he didn't want to lose his Jewish population and wanted to harm the economy. So in 1286, he made the following takana. All Jews were his personal property. They were serfs of the emperor's treasury. No one was allowed to leave Germany. Anyone who did, their property was confiscated. But the Maram realized that this is his only opportunity, and he attempted to flee with his family, but he was recognized by a Jewish apostate at Lombardy. And the emperor imprisoned him in the castle in Einsenheim. An exorbitant ransom was demanded, 23,000 talents of silver. The Maram Paskin, Mishnah Gittin, Ein Poiden Etashvuyim Yasser Mikadei Damayim, that he was not allowed to be redeemed because otherwise it would incite the government to constantly kidnap and take other captives. And therefore he said the Jewish community was not permitted to redeem him. This is what it says in the Mishnah Gittin Memhei. Comes along the Rosh, one of the greatest of all the Rishonim, the leading disciple of the Maram Meirotenberg, the Rav Yitzchak Mivina, Maram Meirotenberg, the Rosh, and the Rosh argued on his Rebbe. And the Rosh maintained that even though you're not allowed to redeem captives for more than their value, that doesn't apply to the Gadol Hadar, they are priceless. And the Rosh personally guaranteed the emperor that he would raise the requisite sum. However, unfortunately, in 1293, the Maram Meirotenberg passed away in jail. When? Yotes Iyar. Now, you should know, the Maram in jail was very active in teaching his Talmidim. And if I don't say, then, yeah. So the Maram died in jail. He had many Talmidim in jail. He was allowed to teach students in jail. And some of the students that came to him, most notably, was the Tashbeis. The Tashbeis wrote something called Tashbeis Katan, the 593 Piskei Halacha that he learned from Maram Meirotenberg in jail. I'll give you one example of something Maram Meirotenberg taught the Tashbeis in jail, that the Maram taught the Tashbeis, that if somebody gives up their life al Kiddush Hashem, even if the person is Chas V'Shalom tortured, it doesn't hurt. Person doesn't feel anything. And he brought a raya from the Masaira. It says, Hikuni Pitsouni, and it says, Hikuni Bal Chalisi. Two times in Tanakh it says, Hikuni. It says Hikuni Pitsauni, and it says Hikuni Baal Chalisi. From here we see that even Hikuni Pitsauni, even if they wound a Yid, B'shas Mesiras Nefesh, Baal Chalisi, a person does not feel any pain. Be it as it may, and the Marami Rotenberg brought a raya. The raya is, you see how many Yidden being thrown into the fire, being tortured. V'loy Omar oy, v'loy Omar avoy. They don't say not the word oy, they don't say avoy. From here is a raya to this yisoid. Someone's moisa nefesh, akidash Hashem. They're not in pain. Yeah. Why did Marami Rotenberg, excuse me, why did Reb Chanina ben Trajan want it to? Oh, good kasha. Good kasha. So, if you look in the Golyoine Hashas of Yosef Engel, he has a similar kasha on the Gemara Brachas on Daf Samach, where the Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva was saying Krishma at the time of his Misa. And his Talmidim said, Ad Khan. So the Gaon Hashas from the Gemara, it's mashma, Rabbi Akiva was suffering pain. In fact, if you look in the Sefer HaGogulim, it's brought over there that the Arizal told Rabbi Chaim Vital that Rabbi Chaim Vital was the Gogo of Rabbi Akiva. And he said, you know what the proof is? Every time you see someone being killed, Al Kiddush Hashem, you get very nervous. You faint. You know why? Because you remember when they killed you when you were Rabbi Akiva. The question is, what do you mean? I thought it doesn't hurt. So there's a big, I think I gave a share on this subject. This yisoid of Marami Rotenberg was taught to the Tashbates in jail. Anyway, back to the ranch. The Rush, who guaranteed the sum, figured if the Maram died in jail, he's next. So the Rush fled to Spain, and the Rush died in 1327. So Maram dies in jail, so you would think that they would let him out of jail, you know? You think he's already l'achar misaseg, but no. They held hostage his body, and his remains were not released until an oisher by the name of Alexander Wimson paid for the release, almanas, that when they bury the Maram, and one day l'achar misaseg, when they bury him, he would have the right to be buried next to the Maram. If you go to Germany today, there kamat no kavarim. So Mr. Heimwitz is testifying, b'fnei kol am ve'eda, that even though in Germany there come out no kvarim of any rishonim, you could go today in Varmaiza and you will see the kever of the Marami Rotenberg, right, buried right next to him, is Alexander Wimfen, zichrona levracha, zichrona tev. Today is the yard site of the Marami. Let me mention, the Marami Rotenberg wrote a kina. Which kina? I think it's kina mem aleph. Yeah, shali sufa ve'esh. And in 1242, was the burning of the 24 wagon loads of shas in Paris. King Louis the Ninth, known as Saint Louis, and the Marami Rotenberg wrote kina mem aleph to commemorate this terrible tragedy in the Jewish people. So that is, today is his yard site of one of the great Bali Toysif, the Maram Mei Rotenberg. And we mentioned, by the way, that the yard site of many, if not most, of the Bali HaToysif are during the Yimei Spiras HaOmer, during the times of the Crusades. Well, Yehi Zichrei Baruch, Zichusai Yagen Aleinu. So that is the second offering for today. Okay. You ready for the third offering? Okay, third offering today comes from the Rabbeinu Bachaye at the end of the parsha. So we all know the end of the parsha, a very disturbing incident is reported. You have a guy, his mother was a Jewish woman by the name of Shloimis Bas Divri, and his father was an Egyptian man. So this Egyptian man violated his mother, and this individual is the product of that relation. The Torah does not identify who this person is. He's the person who remains nameless. He became very angry. Well, what's he upset about? Because he wanted just to have some real estate. You know, his mother was from Sheva Dan, so he comes to Sheva Dan, and he says, you know, give me some land. And Sheva Dan says, you can't. Your father's not a Jew. You don't have a Yerusha. Well, he became incensed. He became so angry. So what did he do? He became so outraged. He said the name of Hashem. He pronounced it very clearly. He was Noikev, the Shem Hashem. And he was Mekalel. He actually cursed the name of Hashem. A very disturbing incident. Let me ask you a question. There's a very famous rule that most people do not put into place. The rule goes like this. Not everything that you think, you need to say. Okay? It's a very important rule. The most important thing in life is you do not need to say everything you think. And even more important, not everything you say do you need to publish. But be it as it may, the Torah does not record every single thing that happened in the Midbar. I'll give you a story. There's a couple in the Midbar, and the guy woke up in the morning, and he says to his wife, what are you making for breakfast today? She said, I'm making eggs. I don't want eggs. I want French toast. No, you had French toast yesterday. You're having eggs. And there was a big fight, and they by the way, does the Torah record that story as that happened in the Midbar? That story is not in the Midbar. It's not in the Torah. I'll tell you another thing. One time a guy came home for lunch, and his wife served him a tuna fish sandwich. And he said, I want pickles on my tuna fish. We're out of pickles. So why did you go to the store before? You knew I was coming home. So she went out, and she got him pickles, and she to preserve the peace, she put pickles on the tuna fish. By the way, is that story mentioned in the Chumash? It's not mentioned in the Chumash. So why? Why? Because the Torah does not mention every kleinigkeit that happened in the 40 years. So why exactly do I need to know there was some Oisvar who pronounced the name of Hashem and cursed it, protect the dignity of Hashem's name, and omit this story, just like it omitted nearly everything that occurred during those 40 years. It's a attack of have in the Torah forever and ever. There was an Oisvar who cursed the name of Hashem. What's it doing in the Torah for? Comes Rabbeinu Bechaye, who passed away in 1340 in Saragossa, Talmud of the Rajba. We know that Rabbeinu Bechaye's Perush is held in such high esteem that the Chasam Sofer is reputed to have learned Rabbeinu Bechaye La Torah every single Friday night for 40 years. He says he always found new chidushim in Rabbeinu Bechaye. And Rabbeinu Bechaye says that the Torah is teaching us a very important lesson. Because we know the way Hashem operates is his midah of chesed is much greater than his midah of peronios. 500 times. Hashem rewards 2,000 generations. Hashem punishes 4 generations. From there we see the midah of reward is 500 times greater than the midah of punishment. So let's think for a moment. Why does the Torah speak at length about this episode? The Torah could have written very b'kitzur. If a man curses Hashem, mois yumas. And then we would have known the halacha. Why go through the episode? The answer is like this. The Torah is teaching us a very important insight into the extent of the schar that a person had for doing a simple mitzvah. What mitzvah are we talking about? Making a bracha with kavana. That if somebody who is mechavein and he enunciated the name of Hashem, now you have to know how to say Hashem's name. Many people botch the name of Hashem. His name is not Ah, De, and then Noi. It's Ah, Doi, or Do, however you want to say it. It's not a Shva, Ah, De, it's Ah, Doi, and then Noi. You say Ah, De, okay, hopefully you do other things right, but you're not making brachas right. So yeah, somebody who pronounces the name of Hashem clearly thinks about the meaning of Hashem's name. It is a good idea that when you say Hashem's name, think about the way it is spelled and think about the way it is read. It is spelled Yud and then a Hey and then a Vav and then a Hey. It's spelled with the meaning Hashem Haya, Hayve, the Hashem is eternal, was, is, and will be. It's pronounced Adoy and then Noi, which means Hashem is the master of everything. Somebody pronounced Hashem's name and cursed it. His punishment was he was stoned to death. Then midah toiva meruba. Imagine how much schar a person will get if they clearly enunciate the name of Hashem and they make a bracha with kavana. His reward will be 500 times greater than the punishment of this guy who had a boulder dropped on his head until he was flattened like flat stem. So if you imagine, it probably, by the way, it probably wasn't pleasant for that guy. Imagine that guy. He was standing there, and he had hundreds of people hurling fastballs 100 miles an hour. There's even a guy today on the Yankees who could get hit 101 miles an hour. And, you know, imagine these Jews who were working out in the Mitzrayim for years and years. You had a guy there in the Midbar, he could throw a rock at your head, Chas v'Shalom, 114 miles an hour. And once, you had hundreds of rocks hitting this guy at one time. You know, imagine what this guy looked like after they were done with him. And that was the punishment for pronouncing the name of Hashem and being Mitzhalel, Al-Achas Kama V'Kama. Well, the more so, if somebody is Mechavein to the name of Hashem and says with Kavanah, can you imagine what type of schar is in store La'achar Me'av Esrim Shana? It's Rabbein Matai, Arisha. Yet, why the Torah speaks about this event in such great detail. So it comes to Ben Tzion Abba Sho'ol, one of the great Sephardic Goyim from 1924 to 1998. And he wrote two volumes, Shalshus Orlet Tzion. He was known to be very big masmid. He would learn everything, he would chazer everything he learned 30 or 40 times. And Rav Ben Tzion Abba Sho'ol made the following calculation. So how many brachas does a Jew make a day? 100 brachas a day. In 1 year, that's about 36,500 brachas. In the course of a lifetime, 70 years, 2.5 million brachas. So la'achar me'av esrim shana, a person thinks, so into the courtroom, we're going to pull in a big wagon load of millions and millions of schusim and big diamonds and rubies and, you know, that a person feels that he's going to cash in on. And all of a sudden, in the courtroom, they pull in all these rocks that look like dead rats, putrid, smelly, moldy, dead animals. They said, what's that? Those are your brachas. My brachas? What do you mean? Yeah. Okay, now that was, what was that? What were you saying? Sounded like, you know, you're reading something from, I don't know what, from a Hocus Pocus book. No, that's how I make brachas. I mumble them under my breath, saying them at rapid fire. And then you say, you know what? Why bring that wagon out of the room? You know, maybe you could give that to somebody else. Many of us are disappointed with what these zechusim might look like. What if a person is makbid to articulate brachas properly, being mechaving to the Shem Hashem, then each bracha will be a diamond, a ruby, gem. To say, what do I do now? That's very easy. What you do now is, it doesn't matter how old you are. You could tshuva. So you say, Ribbono Shel Olam, I regret every time I said a bracha improper, and I'm doing tshuva bi'ahava, and now in 1 second, all the millions of brachas you ever made, hopefully, are transformed into zechusim on the highest level. Very easy. It's a good thing we came today. Right now, we can be mekabel upon ourselves that any bracha we said in the past not properly, we could do tshuva retroactively, transform it into tremendous chusim, kan ulahaba. All the brachas we say, we should try our best to say it slowly, properly, with the proper kavana, focusing on the name of Hashem. And do that, la'achamei v'esim shana, we will be multi-gazillionaires with all this chusim that we have the opportunity to access every day. He goes that when Rav Shach was very old, the doctor told him that they're going to have to put him in a feeding tube. And Rav Shach broke out crying. He said, what was the problem? He said, what, you're going to lose out on eating? He said, no, it's not the eating. You'll lose out on the brachas. Avudraham says the purpose of a bracha is called Hamivarech Yisvarech. Anyone who blesses will become blessed. So Hashem doesn't need our bracha, but He's giving us the opportunity for us to receive bracha min Hashemayim v'mon Shem Shemim Avarech. All of us with all of our needs. Ad Bias Goyal Tzedek. That is the third offering for today. I can also have to pronounce properly. But the Adnos is notoriously mangled. Okay, fourth offering is going to be on for everyone. We don't need to record on that. Okay, so there's a pasuk like this. It says, in this week's parsha, can I borrow a chumash? Thank you. So it says by the parsha of Tzirat Ha'omer, Parshas Emor, and Parshas Emor. By the way, interesting thing. Yesterday was the yard side of the Ramah. The Ramah's yard side always comes out Parshas Emor. I see it's Ramah. So Reb Shimon Sofer in Fura Rav in Krakow. So on Lag Maimer, you had to speak in the Ramah Shul and give a drasha to cover the yard side of the Ramah. So Reb Shimon Sofer would give a drasha every year, and then when he passed away, his son Rabunim Sofer would have to speak. And 1 year, actually, Rabunim Sofer, he felt he didn't have chidushim, wasn't feeling well, so he sent to his cousin, the Shevet Sofer, maybe send me some of your chidushim. So the Shevet Sofer sent him some of his chidushim, and he said, I'm sending this to you, the Parsha, it was Bahar B'chukosai, Parsha, Oy doy doy, Oy ben doy doy, Yigalenu. The Parsha is when your relative bails you out, you know? But so Rabunim Sofer once spoke by the Yartz of the Ramah, he said, Parsha Rama is always before Parshas Emor, Behar B'chukaisai. Emor is Oisiyos Rama. Whatever the Rama says is Behar, as if it was given on Harsin, B'chukaisai as a chayk from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So anyway, it says like this. It says by the Parsha of the Mayadim. It says, Kitsira. Vahave semes oimer, leket ketsirachem el akoyen. You ready? It says, Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yaret alehem, Yisrael v'yu el haaretz, Asher ani noitem lachem, u'kitzartem es ketsirach, Vahave semes oimer, shit ketsirachem el akoyen. There's a big kasha on this song. It starts off by saying ketsira, and the end of the pasuk is, it's ketsirachem. Why in the beginning of the pasuk does the harvest, the harvest is called Kitzira, and the end of the pasuk, the harvest is called Kitzirchem. What happened? It's my stuff. I'm the one who sells it. Why in the beginning is it called Kitzira? It's called Kitzirchem. The Gemara says in Bava Basra and Daf Yud Aleph, Mun Baz Hamelach. So he had an estate that he yarshin, his grandfather's father, and there was a year of famine, and he just gave it all to the Aniyim. So they had tainas on him. What are you giving away? Your grandfather built up an estate. Your father built upon that. And you're giving everything away. He said, no, just that they had nothing. They were building up storehouses down here. I'm building up storehouses in Shemayim. Their storehouses, Ganavim, could come take away. My storehouses are untouchable. So what do we see from here? That even though you could go to the bank and it says you have $1 million in the bank, $3 million in the bank, it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to either your children or the government. Because ultimately, you know, you ain't taking it with you. There's once a guy who passed away, and he wanted all his money to be buried with him. You know, so they all, so what they did was they just put his ATM card with him, and they said, whenever you can take it out. In the meantime, we'll have it. But I made that up. Anyway, so you don't need to record that joke. You can if you want. But you can't do it, right? The only thing you can take with you is what you give away. Mm-hmm. So the truth is, only what you give away is yours. Whatever you keep for yourself goes to, will go to the government or your kids, right? So really what says with Tzvi Pesach Frank, only what you use your assets for tzedakah mitzvah is yours. Like he teaches the pasuk, V'chol asher titen li, aset renu lach. Literally, whatever you take ma'aser. No! What, you know what you've given, you know what's leave? Only what? Asra, asra, and aluch. Only the 10% that I've given to you. The rest is not leave. The rest is going to, you know, they're going to figure out a way to tax me on. So it comes out, an interesting thing. If you look on this pasuk, The Medrash says, inexplicably, the Medrash says, basically, in all a person's hard work and all of his efforts, he ain't going to get anything out of it. What's that got to do with this pasuk? So pshat in the pasuk is like this. In the beginning, you could have a field. It's harvest. It doesn't belong to you. Yeah, it belongs to me because I'm going to sell it. And what are you going to do with the money? I'm going to buy, I don't know, I'm going to keep it in my bank account. And who's going to have it? I'm going to have it. For how long? I don't know. Another 50 years. And then who's going to have it? I don't know. The Democrats, the Republicans, kids, grandkids. But it's not mine. The only thing, the Havesim is Oimer. But if I bring the carbon Oimer with it, then it's called Kitzir Chem. Then it becomes your Kitzira to the Kohen. That's why in this Pasuk, the Medrash connects the Pasuk in Koheles, Ve'ein Yisrael La'adam Chalamalai Asher Yamal Tachas Hashem. Rabbi Isai, have a great Shabbat.